Sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Celia.
Celia, thank you so much for reading. Very long section. Thank you. Here's what we're going to do. It's a long section, and so we're going to focus on Jesus' calming of the storm. And then I'm going to show you how the themes that we're shown can be traced through the whole of chapter 5. It's all this one big section. I'm very pleased that it was all read in one go. And it's really teaching the same thing. But we're going to focus on the storm, and then we'll see the themes going through. So I'd be very grateful if you could keep the Bible open. If you've got one in front of you, it's on page 816. It was read so well. And as we begin, let me lead us in prayer again to ask for the Lord Jesus' help. Our Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We praise you for his authority. We thank you for his great love for us. And we ask our Father, please, by your Spirit, make us people who see Jesus, who hear what he says, who love him. And we ask it for our good, but most importantly, for the Lord Jesus' glory. Amen.
Amen.
I want to prepare you for quite a somber question. Here it is. Does Jesus care that we're dying? Does Jesus care that we're dying? The global death toll from COVID is estimated to be 6,766,000. Since the war started, 7,100 civilians have been murdered in Ukraine. In Australia today, 137 people will die of cancer, 5,000 a year. And 2 years ago last Friday, a friend of mine, Sam, he grew up near here on the North Shore. 2 years ago last Friday, he died before he was 30. Each of us, I'm sure, will have people that we love who have gone. And the question is, does Jesus care that we're dying? It's a very hard question to come to terms with. But we have to, because one day it's going to be our turn. You know, I think about this whenever I visit a crematorium. When you arrive, there's a family that's there just in front of you, just leaving. And when you leave, there's a family just behind you, arriving. It's just one long queue. And somewhere down that long queue of black hearses that just roll in one of those hearses, it's going to be us, and it's going to be our turn. And maybe the car is miles down the road, maybe it's just around the corner, but it's there and it's waiting and it's approaching and it's rolling closer. And the signs are here now, the thinning hair and the weak limbs and the wrinkles and the illness. And our society just doesn't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it. But we are dying. And the question is, does Jesus care? I'm often asked, how can a good God allow suffering? Well, here's the bigger question. Does Jesus care that we're dying? This afternoon, I want to show you that Jesus cares. He really does. I want to show us that Jesus great care for us. It's so big that it actually reveals two things about him: who he is and what we should do with him. And I want to show us all this, as I said, by presenting us with what's one of the most notable events in Jesus' life, when he calmed a storm. Because did you notice our question for Jesus is put to him in verse 38. Have a look, verse 38, at the end there, they say, Jesus' disciples, they say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" These early followers of Jesus, some of the first people who encountered him, they're really feeling the heat and the urgency of this question. They're in all of its kind of desperate urgency. They're in this storm. Their boat is filling with water. And so they say, "Teacher, Don't you care that we're dying? And so it's in this situation, with this question hanging in the air, that we're going to see two things about Jesus. And then at the end, we're going to hear Jesus' question for us. So here's the first thing we notice about Jesus. One, Jesus cares. Does Jesus care that we're dying? Answer, yes, he does. Jesus cares. Let's run through what happened. The event, it really speaks for itself. Mark begins by telling us it was in the evening. Jesus has spent the day teaching a large crowd of people beside the sea. It's now the end of the day. He's with his closest followers, and we pick up from verse 35. Have a look with me. Verse 35, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind him, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. So it's a bit like the circular quay to Manly Ferry. The sun is setting, the moon is out, the water is steady, the day's work is done. Jesus and his followers in some boats, gliding across the glassy sea. And Jesus falls asleep. But then, there's a storm. It's a great storm. It probably just started with a whistle, but it's not long before the wind is lifting the water into waves. Perhaps it was fun for a bit, you know, going up and then coming down, but then it's not fun at all. The waves are climbing, and then they're crashing, and they're rising so high that they're spilling into the boat. So if you can, just imagine the situation the disciples are in. It's dark, they're unable to stand, they're soaked to the skin, they're deafened by the roar of the ocean and blinded by the waves, and now they are sick with fear, because around their ankles they can feel the water. The boat is filling up. And yet, get this, Jesus is still asleep. Do you see that in verse 37? A great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Can you believe it? It's as if Jesus asleep in this storm. It's as if he kind of lies above it all. And so we read the disciples, they woke him, verse 38, and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And so here's the moment. What's Jesus going to say? What's the answer? Come and see with me in verse 39. And waking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, be silent, be still. Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. Jesus cares. He really does. There's a great storm. The disciples are terrified. They're going to drown. And then there's a dead calm. The storm stops. Everyone's safe. And between the two of those things, great storm, dead calm, it's Jesus. And the phenomenal power of his words, be still, be silent. Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. It's so extraordinarily good, isn't it? Jesus cares. Now that's what we see again and again as we keep reading through chapter 5. So remember, there's a man oppressed by demons, self-harming, killing himself, living among the tombs, the place of the dead. But Jesus cares, and the demons are gone. Then a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years, her womb, the place for life, has been turned over to death, hopeless and helpless, but Jesus cares about her, and she's healed. And then a little girl, Jairus, her father, cries out to Jesus, "My little girl is on the point of death." And just imagine how horrible that situation would be. And while Jesus, he's on his way to the girl, someone comes up to Jairus, the father, and says, "Your daughter is dead. Don't worry the teacher any further." But Jesus cares. And he goes to the little girl, and he raises her from death, and she's alive again. Isn't it amazing? Jesus cares. Now, maybe there's someone here today who thinks that no one really cares if they die. Can I say to you, from what we've just seen, Jesus cares. He cares about your death. And he has the power to do something about it. Maybe we're someone here who knows there are people who care about us. But it doesn't take much thought to recognize that really they can't do anything about the fact that we're going to die. Can I say to you, Jesus cares about your death. And he has the power to do something about it. Does Jesus care that we're dying? The answer is yes, he does. It's as if Jesus sleeps and waits for his disciples to ask the question, "Teacher, don't you care?" It's as if he sleeps and waits just so that he can show them he really does. That's the first thing we notice about Jesus. Jesus cares. But you know, if we left it there, we would actually be missing the main thing that's going on here. Jesus' great care is meant to lead us to something bigger. The first thing about Jesus is meant to lead us to the second thing about Jesus. What Jesus does shows us who he is. One, Jesus cares. But more than that, too, Jesus is the Lord who cares. Jesus is the Lord who cares. Jesus is the Lord God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who rescues his people, the King and Creator of the world. Jesus is God, the Lord who cares. Let me show us how we get there. For one thing, notice the movement of fear to awe. So to start with, Jesus' followers, they're scared of this storm. But by the end, they're scared of Jesus. See there in verse 41. They were filled with great awe. Now, isn't that interesting? These followers have been thrown about by lethal waves. They nearly died. But now, having seen Jesus' power, having heard his voice calm a storm, well, now their fear, it's not really about the water and the waves. It's really directed at Jesus. They're not at awe at the power of the wind and the waves. They're at awe at Jesus. Then for another thing, and this is where it really gets pulled into focus, notice the disciples' question. Look at verse 41 again. They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and sea obey him?" Again, notice the movement. To start with, they thought Jesus was just a teacher. So question one, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" Question two, "Who then is this, that even the wind and sea obey him?" Well, it's obvious, isn't it? The answer is in the question. This is the Lord God, the Creator wielding his power in creation. The psalmist in Psalm 107, speaking of God, says, "He makes the storm of the sea be still, and the waves are quiet." To help me illustrate this, let me put it this way. Who is this? Who used to reign in England and waved like this. It's the Queen. Who makes electric cars with Tesla, richest man in the world now, I think. And now he flies rockets into space. Elon Musk. Last one. Who scores hundreds of runs against England in the cricket?
In Australia.
That is exactly the right answer. That's what I've got here. You might say any number of Australian batsmen. Who then is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? There's only one option. This is God himself taking the body of a man, Jesus, the Lord. So this event, calming the storm, it reveals who Jesus is, his identity, his great care, and his great power over the wind and the sea, that they would obey him. It's all pointing to the inescapable truth. Jesus is Lord. That's why his followers are filled with great awe, because they are sharing a boat with the King of the world, who alone rules not just the wind and the waves and the sea, but the planet and all people, even over life and over death. And again, this is what we see in chapter 5. The man oppressed by demons. No one can pin him down. No one can help him, but Jesus can. He is the Lord. The bleeding woman, she'd been to every doctor. She'd spent all of her money. No one could help her, but Jesus can. He's the Lord. And the little girl, dead. The great obstacle which humans have never been able to triumph over. But Jesus can. Jesus is the Lord who cares. You know, there might be people in our life who care, but there is no one who has the power like Jesus. Isn't it just thrilling? Now, maybe we know someone who thinks Jesus was just a teacher. Or perhaps sometimes that's our impression of Jesus, a bit like these followers. Jesus, he's just a religious guru, the spiritual teacher. Well, if that is our impression of Jesus, can I say, it's about this big. It's a cent-sized impression of Jesus, if we think he's just a teacher. After what we've seen, surely we cannot think that's only who he is. Jesus is the Lord. He's the ruler of our world. Maybe we know of someone who thinks that Jesus has no power over us. Perhaps our impression of Jesus has been the Jesus of Christmas time, you know, baby Jesus, innocent but seemingly impotent, nice for kids but not for the adults. Well, can we say again, that is a cent-sized impression of Jesus. A baby-sized impression of Jesus. After what we've seen, surely we cannot think that Jesus has no power over us. Jesus has every power over us. Over the wind and the waves, over our life and over our death. When we die, Jesus holds the keys. He's the Lord. Jesus is the Lord who cares. And so as we close, what should we do? Trust in the Lord who cares. Trust in the Lord who cares. If you want this sermon in a sentence, it's that. Trust in the Lord who cares. We may have noticed that so far two questions have been directed at Jesus. Don't you care that we're perishing? And who is this? And we've seen Jesus cares. Jesus is Lord. But Jesus got a question for his followers, and anyone who's listening. And the question is this, quite simply, do we trust him? See with me one last time, sentence 40, verse 40. Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" This is what Jesus wants us to do. In the face of death, he wants us to trust him. That's what faith means. It means to trust Jesus. Jesus wants us to trust who he is and what he can do, to rely on him, to believe in him, to depend on him, to trust that he is the Lord who can save us from death. So trust in the Lord who cares. What does Jesus say to the bleeding woman? He says, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace." What does Jesus say to Jairus when his daughter dies? "Do not fear, only believe." So, St. Giles Church, Greenwich, trust in the Lord who cares. You see, Jesus died himself willingly to save us. He repeatedly said that, didn't he? That he would die to take our death. And then 3 days later, as we know, he rose from the death to eternal life, to rule as the Lord in heaven with all power and authority to raise others from the dead to new eternal life with him. And we have seen a glimmer of that power today. Jesus cares that we are going to die. Jesus is the Lord who can save us. And so, do we trust him? We began by asking, does Jesus care that we're dying? But we need to end by trusting, yes, he does. In chapter 6, at the end of our reading, we see something quite astonishing. People reject Jesus. They don't trust him, and that is a terrible mistake, because if we don't trust Jesus, when we die, we will stay dead, apart from Jesus, under God's judgment. But if we trust Jesus, he will raise us. And though we die, he will give us new eternal life with him. So, St. Giles Church, Greenwich, trust him. Keep trusting him. Jesus cares, so trust him. Jesus is Lord, so trust him. Trust in the Lord who cares. Let's show our trust together as we pray to our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus who cares for us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for giving him to us. Thank you for his great care for us. Thank you, Father, for his huge power and authority that he can raise the dead. And so we ask our Father, please make us people who trust Jesus. Please make us people who trust Jesus today. Please, Father, make us people who trust Jesus tomorrow and every day until we see the Lord Jesus face to face. Our Father, by your Spirit, make us people who believe. And for our good and for the Lord Jesus' glory. Amen.